feet and daylight unto my path. And a light unto, a light unto my path, my path.
Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. On our last Searchlight program, we began looking at the story of Samson. This well-known man was one of the judges of Israel. Samson was a man who had so much potential, but he also was a man who had so many problems. John shared with us three things about Samson's life that led to his downfall. First, Samson had dedication, but not devotion. That is, as a Nazarite, he was supposed to be set apart and dedicated for service to God. But we do not see in Samson's life sacrifice to God or praise for God or a real prayer life. The next thing that led to Samson's downfall was authority without accountability. Samson was the leader of Israel, but we see that he wasn't accountable to God or his family or his countrymen. As we join John for the conclusion to this teaching, it is this point that he is still discussing. Here now is Pastor John.
So the men of Israel, 3,000, say, Samson, would you go with the Philistines, please? And Samson says, okay. And he goes with the Philistines, but not really. It was all part of a plot, a plan, a ploy by which he would break out and wipe them out again, you see. What's the point? Simply this. He wouldn't even shoot straight with his own countrymen. He wouldn't be accountable to them. Whether or not they should have said that is not the issue this morning. The fact of the matter is, he agreed to do what they told him to, but he didn't have any intention. It was all part of a game. It was all part of a plan. So this guy, Samson, he has all this authority, but he's accountable to nobody. Not the 3,000 men who came to him, not his mom and dad who cared about him, not his God who was the creator of him. Accountable to nobody. Accountability is so important. It's important that we be those who are accountable. That there is people, someone that can speak into your life. There are people that you are submitted to. People that can say, hey, this is the way it ought to be, that you will take heed and choose in humility to submit to, even if you may not agree with them initially. That's one of the good things about the Promise Keepers movement from a few years ago. They stressed accountability, that men needed to be accountable to other men. That no one should be or ought to be a lone ranger, lest you get into trouble. I saw in Newsweek magazine a few years ago, though, a picture that was dealing with a guy that was in a bar holding a great big mug of beer and surrounded by some girls, some barmaids or what have you. And he's got this beer and he's got a smile on his face. And on his t-shirt, there was this imprinted. My wife thinks I'm at Promise Keepers. See. And the reason that Newsweek ran that photo and the reason that it was kind of used in that way is because, sad to say, hey, the idea of that was to be accountable, but that guy wasn't, and neither was Samson in his day. Yeah, but you don't understand, the person that I'm supposed to be accountable to, my husband, he's an idiot. Or my parents, they're out of it. Or my boss, or the brothers at the church, or the elder of my Koinonia group, or whatever it might be. Just, oh man. Hey, God put you in that position. God put you in that family. God put you on that job site. Because you see, accountability is not about the person over you making the right decision. It's about you becoming the right person. It's not about, well, I'm not sure my husband's making the right decision. That's not the issue. It's about me, you, us becoming the right people, you see. Humility. Humility and accountability go hand in hand. Samson had none of that. And it would lead to a real demise, you see. God puts people in your lives, people in my life that I am to be accountable to. Yeah, well, I don't like the people in my life that I'm supposed to be accountable to. So I'm going to leave him. I'm going to quit that job. I'm going to move out from my parents' house. Hey, God puts you in that fix to fix you. That's the real issue. And if you try and get out, if you try and fix the fix that God puts you in to fix you, he's going to have to put you in another fix to fix the fix that he wanted to fix in the first place. If you try and fix the fix that God puts you in because he wants to fix you, he'll have to put you in another fix to fix the fix that he wanted to fix in the first place, and you can be sure of that fact. Amen. So Samson here didn't get it, though. He is not accountable. He has authority, but no accountability. Interesting. Third thing I'd like you to note is there is power, but no purity. Power. Oh, my. The guy could lift up and shoulder a 2.5-ton gate and walk 400 yards or so up a hill with this 2.5-ton gate on his back. The guy, man. He had power, but he had no purity. It's a dangerous thing when people are seeking power, but they're not interested in purity. Because power in the hands of an impure people is dangerous and explosive. I think back of that great revival that took place around the turn of the century, the Azusa Street Revival, where the power of the Holy Spirit fell upon the congregations of L.A. around the turn of the century in a marvelous, wonderful way. But as that revival came to a close after several years, one of the leaders in that movement, the guy that sort of was used by God to kick it off, a black preacher, a powerful man who was a prophet, really, declared, "The outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the empowering of the Holy Spirit will cease. It will be quenched. It will be over. When people, when Christians are seeking the gifts of the Spirit, the power gifts, more than they are focused on the fruit of the Spirit, which is character. When they are talking more about the Holy Spirit than about Jesus Christ, and when they desire praise more than prayer." Three things, he said, will indicate when this revival is over. When people want the power gifts, but not the personal fruit. When people want to praise, but they have no desire to pray. When people talk about the Holy Spirit rather than Jesus Christ. For the Spirit of God said, or Jesus, pardon me, said about the Spirit of God, he will not speak of himself, you see. Power. Give me power. Wait a minute. The issue is purity. Samson had power without purity. He was always looking at the ladies. He was that he-man with the she-weakness, you see. Got in trouble. Now, Samson's story is a sad one until the very end. And because of the last few verses, as we will read and study and talk about, you will see that he emerges amazingly in the closing hours of his life. He emerges victoriously, so much so that in Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith, guess who is inducted into the Hall of Faith? Guess who is elected to be a member of God's Hall of Faith? Samson. His name is there as big as day in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. Why? Go back and look at that list that you jotted down. Think through with me the three things that caused Samson to collapse so catastrophically. He had dedication, but he didn't have devotions. He had authority, but he didn't have accountability. He had power, but he didn't have purity. Now, suddenly, he finds himself in a pickle. After his haircut, you know what happens. The Philistines come again. After he gave in to Delilah's continual complaining and whining and said, okay, I'll tell you the secret. Cut off my hair and I'll be just like any other guy. So she cut off his hair and, Samson, the Philistines are here again. And he stood up and thought, no problema. But he wist not that the Spirit had departed from him, as the Bible says. The Spirit of God had left him. And he took on those Philistines, but he was easily and quickly overpowered, much to his shock, much to his chagrin. And they bound him with brass fetters, and they poked out both of his eyes, and they brought him to their city, where they made him grind at a millstone like a cow, like the cattle, blind, bound, grinding away, going in circles day after day after day after day. The guy is broken because he had power but lacked purity, because he had authority but no accountability, because he had dedication but no devotion. And now sin has brought about its ugly, awful repercussions. He's blinded by sin. He's bound up in his sin. He's grinding because of sin, and that's what sin will do. It will bind, it will blind, and it will grind. And that's precisely what it did with Samson, and it will do to you and to me too. It blinds you. You can't see. You know people, perhaps you've been there a time or two, when you're caught up in a sin, and everybody else says, what are you doing? What are you thinking? Can't you see where this is going? And when you're in sin, you say, not really. It's all going to be fine. Just watch. It's all going to work out hunky-dorily. Don't you see? No, don't you see? The person in sin says blindly. And then when it comes down, then when everything caves in, then when the catastrophe does happen, the person will say, what was I thinking? Why didn't I see that? It's so clear to me. It's because that's what sin will do to you, to anybody, to me. It blinds. Samson's eyes were poked out. It binds. What was once fun and interesting and exciting and provocative and stimulating and enticing, what it becomes suddenly, you find yourself enslaved to that sin. And you can't break away. What used to be fun is now a bondage, an addiction, a perpetual problem. You're bound by sin. Sin will blind, sin will bind, and then you just find yourself grinding away like Samson was there, grinding that millstone, going around in circles. Hour after hour, day after day, week after week. And that's what sin does to me and sin will do to you. It blinds you, it binds you, it grinds you. You're just going in circles. You're saying, what is my life about? Man, I feel like an animal going in circles. What a bummer. What a grind daily life is. What a grind I'm in. It's because of sin. So Samson is there, but watch what happens. As the days and weeks and months go by where he's grinding away, bound up, blind in his eyes, sad to say, something begins to happen. He begins to change. The hair that was cut off begins to grow again, you see. The Philistines should have stationed a barber right there, giving him a haircut every single day. But hey, they didn't understand it. Samson's hair began to grow. Something was happening deep within. And Samson finds himself now a different kind of man. Note with me what happens. as they call for him. Bring Sammy into our temple, the temple of Dagon. We want to have some sport, some fun. Samson is brought forth. A little boy leads him because Samson can't see a thing. A little boy leads him from the place of his grinding to the place where the temple of Dagon was, packed full of Philistines, 3,000 in number. And Samson's holding on to the lad's shoulders, and a different guy than he was previously. Oh, Samson, the big guy, now being led in by a little boy. And he prays, Lord, he prays, not, give me something to drink. Let me live. He says, Lord, let me die. It's not about me, Lord. Let me die. I failed miserably, Lord. I've dropped the ball horribly, Lord. But Lord, I ask of you, let me die. Let me die in pushing down the pillars of this temple, in dealing with these, the enemy. I want to see the enemy dealt with, and I want to die. How do you know when a person has really changed? The prodigal, give me the goods, he said to his dad. Give me the money. After he was changed in the pig pen, broken, humbled, he came back to his father and said, make me a servant. You know that there's been a transformation when a man, when a person no longer says, give me the goods, but rather, make me a servant. I want to live, but rather, let me die. Let me die to self. It's not about me anymore. Watch what happens. Why Samson ends up in the hall of faith. Why he's able that day to stand there in the temple of Dagon while they're laughing and jeering and mocking. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit comes upon him again. His muscles are bulging. His veins are showing on his neck as he stands there between two pillars in the temple and pushes them apart and stretches out his hands and dies in the position that the Son of Man would die in. Jesus Christ, who died and gave his life to bring the house down, to bring the enemy into defeat, you see. Samson, too, pushes the pillars out, gives his life. 3,000 Philistines die. More died in his moment of death than throughout all of his life. And I want you to see something here, and I'll be quick. But it's important stuff. First of all, we see devotion for the first time. Devotion. When he makes that prayer that day, finally, he's praying properly. He prays at the end of chapter 16. He prays a very simple prayer that he wants to die and see the enemy done in and the enemy wiped out. There's a devotion going on there. Not give me the water, but let me die, Father. There's devotion. Prayer. Not making demands from God, but giving your life to God. That's what real devotion is. Secondly, not only is there devotion, but now there is accountability. Accountable to who? A little boy leads him. A little boy. He's blind, he can't see, and now he has his hand on the shoulder of the lad, and he's being led by a little boy. Talk about humility. Here's world famous Samson. A guy that could conquer 1,000 Philistines easily. Now he's accountable. Now he's linked to a little boy leading him to the temple. He can't get there by himself. He can't go there on his own. He's accountable. Accountability is linked with humility, folks. And there can be no humility without humiliation. I wish I could become humble without being humiliated. It doesn't work that way. You're not going to be accountable unless you're humble. And you're not going to be humble unless you're a man of humility. And you're not going to be a man or a woman of humility unless there's humiliation. Otherwise, like Samson, you may be dedicated to the task or to your duty or to the job or even the ministry, but you're not going to be accountable because because there's no humility, and there's no humility because there's no humiliation. There can be no real humility without humiliation, and if there's no humility, there's going to be no accountability, because I will say, I'm the guy in charge, you see. Samson was changed as a little boy led him. Now there's devotion. He prays a very real prayer. Lord, let me die. There's devotion. Now there's accountability. Son, lead me. Son, little boy, you lead me. Little guy, you lead me. He's accountable, you see. He's following the lead of a little boy that never would have happened had he not been broken in that way previously. And number three, now there is devotion. And now there is accountability. And now there is purity. Why? Jesus said, if your right eye offends you, do what? Poke it out. Samson had his right eye poked out and his left one too. He had an eye for the women. That was his downfall. You know the story. And now both those eyes are removed. Both of those eyes are taken away. I will set no unclean thing before my eyes, the psalmist said in our psalm today. Samson didn't. Literally, his situation was dealt with a certain kind of finality. His eyes were plucked out, and there would be purity. And now, there's purity and not just power. Now there's accountability and not just authority. Now there's devotion and not just dedication. And now he stands there, and a great victory is brought through him. And the Philistines that day were wiped out in a most amazing way. And there was great victory for the people of Israel and for Samson personally. God says, that man did good at the end. For 20 years, he was a mess. But at the end, it's marvelous. How about for you? How about for me? How about for us in our walks presently? Is there devotion in your life? I know you're dedicated. I know you're dedicated, but is there devotion? Is there accountability? Who are you truly accountable to? Not when you agree, but no matter what. Not if you agree with that person in authority, but when you say, it's about me being the right person, not simply about being a part of the right decision. Is there accountability? Is there purity? Have you allowed your left eye, your right eye, whatever it might be that is polluting and defiling, to be cast away, to be unplugged, to be sent off? Hey, when there's purity, that's when there can be true, real victory. Folks, the lessons of Samson, very important for any and all who desire to be used by God. And the good news for me, and the good news for you, is this. Maybe up to this point, you say, I haven't been accountable. And I haven't had devotions and been a devotional kind of guy or gal. And I haven't been as pure as I know I'm supposed to be. Just like it took Samson only a moment to come to his senses and to say, Lord, I want to die. And I want you to be glorified. I want you to have the victory. I want you to come through. So you can do today. I can too.
It is a merciful and gracious God who gives us such an opportunity. If you haven't been as devoted or accountable or pure as you know that you should be, you can be changed this very day. And the good news is that when you do, like Samson, you will see great victory in your life.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com. That's johncorson.com.
Pastor John has often encouraged us to spend time each day contemplating the Word of God. One great way to do this is with a daily devotional. Pastor John has put together three daily devotionals that cover the entire Bible. A pillar by day and a day of feasting are taken from the Old Testament. A day's journey is a devotional from the New Testament. Each daily devotional has 365 short meditations and are presented in John's insightful and practical style. You may order each daily devotional from our website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.